This room today is dedicated to everyone whose soul is thirsty for the living God. Hallelujah. Everyone that's crying out for more of God. This room is dedicated to you and me today in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise and give you glory for the Spirit of God that is drawing us. And no man can come unto me except the Father draws him. And Lord, you promise that everyone that comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. Draw me closer to you, Lord, even today, in the name of Jesus. Let my heart be focused on the things that are uppermost in your heart, in Jesus' name. And as always, Lord, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in every heart that is here present today, or that may listen in later on, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My soul thirsted for God, even for the living God. Well, if that's your prayer today, well, this room is going to be dedicated for you. Praise the Lord. What are the things that you're passionate about concerning the Lord? I mean, in your prayer life, what things are uppermost? I mean, you know, I mean, what is the thing that excites you? I mean, what is the thing that consumes you, so to speak? Is it the Lord? Is your soul thirsty for God? Well, let's see. I read a few scriptures. Encourage ourselves this morning. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalm 42, the psalmist played this song and said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I mean, this was a man, he wasn't satisfied, with anything. The only thing that could satisfy him is the presence of the Lord. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I've gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, even with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Harmonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of thy watersprouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Hallelujah. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. My prayer shall be unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Say, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. There's a lot of things that mingled up, you know, in this psalm. There's a yearning for God, for more of God. And there's a crying to God for redemption and for salvation of whatever situation he was in. You know, situation that made, you know, people even to say, where is your God? You know, and all of it was in his heart. Even when he went to the house of God, he said, look, I was glad when they said, let us go. It's time to go to the house of God. He was always happy. But there were times when he went. So I went with those that kept holy day, with a multitude. You know, and while, you know, right there, his heart was still heavy. But he knew what to do when his heart was heavy. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He said, challenged himself. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. Praise God. Is that your resolution? That no matter what, you will yet praise the Lord? You know, I pray the Lord be the health of your countenance, even today. But let's talk some more about, you know, the things that we should be crying out to God for. And we should be seeking after the Lord. You know, remember that Jesus himself, the Lord, he gave us a beautiful promise. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, he said. Well, you know, let's read another prayer and another psalm of David. Psalm 63. And see how he cried out to the Lord. Soul was thirsty for God. He wanted more of God. Praise the Lord. He said, my soul thirsteth for the Lord. Ah, Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee, O Lord, in a thirsty land where no water is. I want to see thy power, he said. To see thy glory, even as I've seen thee before in this sanctuary, I want more of you, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Praise the Lord. You know, is it your prayer and your desire, you know, to have more of God? You think about him when you lay in bed. Does your soul long for him? Is your soul thirsty? There's only one thing, you know, the Lord, he created, you know, man with this, it's a passion and a void that will be in his soul unless he has the Spirit of God. Because that's how he created him. Revelation 2 and 7, we're told that God breathed into the man. You know, the man was just a shell. But the Lord breathed into him the breath of life, the Spirit of God, and it became a living soul. And unless the man is dwelling in that realm, there will be this void. There will always be, you know, it doesn't matter what they have. You know, people may get riches and obtain fame and all kinds of things, but there's still a void, something missing in their soul, you know. But those of us who are connected with the Lord, you know, sometimes we let the cares of this life choke out the joy of the Lord. You know, we let the problems choke different things out. Instead of us continually seeking the Lord, or seeking the Lord's face, I might say, we seek His hand, what the Lord will give us. And we're very passionate about the things that we want from the Lord. I mean, material and physical things. And sometimes the things that excite us. I mean, what are the things that excite you? You know, when you come before the Lord in worship and in prayer, what are you praying about? Your mortgage, your rent, the next car, your next vacation. I mean, what are the things that we pray about when we come before the Lord? Even as you go through your day, what are the things that are in your heart? What consumes you even when you're doing other things? You know, this man said, my soul is thirsty for the living God. Let's read some more of his prayers. Psalm 84. This is how he always cried out to the Lord. And the Lord observed it. Called him a man after his heart. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. I mean, this man couldn't wait to get in the presence of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. That's what he said. You know. So, say, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, that she may lay her young, even thy altars. Woo-hoo. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in the presence of the Lord. They used to call it the house of the Lord. I call it the presence of God. They will be still praising thee no matter what. They'll still be praising the Lord. And God will bring calmness to them as well. You know, despite what's going on, when your heart is tuned to the Lord, well, you know, the Lord will bring you calmness and tranquility. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose hearts are the way of them. You know, there are some things that make people depressed today. It's when they are in the pursuit. Sometimes we are in pursuit of happiness through acquiring things or doing this and that and so forth. And, you know, when that doesn't come, you know, then the soul is withdrawn, you know. But the real happiness, the real thing that can feel the presence is, I mean, you feel that voice is his presence. If ye be risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 3, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. The presence of the Lord, the word of the Lord, praising the Lord, and etc. These were the things that David exercised himself in. How he continually sought after the Lord. Let's read a few more of his things that he was doing in Psalm 119, 19. Pick out a couple of verses there. Praise the Lord. How he's, I mean, the joy, the things, you know, that he sought after. Praise the Lord. He wanted the Lord's salvation. He trusted in his word all the time. Psalm 119 verse 81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word. It's looking always, saying, when will thou comfort me? I become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet, see, no matter what he's going through, yet I will not forget thy statutes. Praise the Lord. Well, that was someone who would not forget. Well, what about you? When you're going through, do you forget? You know, sometimes we're going through so much stuff, you know, that we may even forget to seek after the Lord. You know, he says also in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel and the Walking with God family hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem his people. That's right, from their iniquities and their troubles as well. But let our hearts seek after the Lord. You know, what are the things that excite you? Does the word of God excite you? When you find something new about the word of God, is there an excitement about it? You know, in Psalm 119 and verse 162, we see, you know, the value that this man places, you know, not only on, you know, the, you know, the presence of God, and it goes to the house of God, but on the word of God, you know, value that he places. He says in Psalm 119 and verse 162, how, you know, he values the word of God. I mean, what value do you place on the word of God? Well, let's see what David said in his mind as he, you know, regarded the word of God. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I mean, it's just like this man won the lottery or got a big, you know, I don't believe that believers should play the lottery. I just use that phrase, you know. So don't say I'm telling you to go do that. You know, the Lord's word was to this man like great treasure. I mean, just the presence of the Lord was a great treasure to him. How much value do you place on the things of God? The word of God, Jeremiah chapter 15. And verse 16 talks about, I mean, this man, you know, there was something igniting inside of him. You know, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's what Jeremiah said. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Well, is the word of the Lord the joy and rejoicing of your heart when you hear it, when the Holy Spirit brings it to you, and when you search it yourself, when you read it? Does it excite you? You know, the things that should excite you are the things that we can discover, you know, about the Lord. I mean, discovery. Let's talk about the things that Adam had that we lost. You know, the power, see, to know the mind of God like that. The ability to be in charge, to represent, you know, and the trust that God had in him, knowing that he would do the right thing. Adam, what say you? What are we going to call this one? I mean, that's incredible every time I think about it. You know, that the Lord put so much into the man and put so much trust in him that he's like, wow, Adam, you got this. You know, I can relax, you know, and let him do his thing. You know, the things that they didn't have anymore by the time Enoch came around. You mean you could talk to the animals? Yep. You could even go under the sea, talk to the fish? Yep. I mean, you could do all these things? Yep. Adam would say, Enoch would ask. But how come we can't do those things anymore? Well, you know, something happened. But what happened? Well, something happened. But what happened? Tell me. Well, I'd rather not talk about it. Well, tell me. Well, as a young man asked him, finally he said, look, well, here's what happened. You know, and then the Lord drove us out. He said, wow. He drove you out? Is that why we see those cherubims? I mean, these things there? He didn't even know what they were. So yeah, those are God's cherubims. I mean, why are they waving that fire around? Well, they don't want us to go in there. Well, what's in there? You know, something that excited the young man called Enoch. Wanted to know. Well, there is something in there in particular that the Lord doesn't want us to get near. Adam would tell him. What is that? You know how the children ask many questions? I said, well, there's something there called the tree of life. Tree of life? What is that? Well, if we are able to eat of that tree of life, we'll live forever. Well, did you eat of the tree of life? Well, no. Well, why not? I mean, all the questions that Enoch might have asked, you know, I said, well, before we got around to doing it, the Lord drove us out and he told us we're going to die. You are going to die? I said, well, yeah. He said, we're going to die in the day that we do this thing. But you're not dead yet. I said, well, yeah, but we're going to die because God said so. So we're just going to sit around and die then? Have you ever tried to go back in there and say, son, I tell you, there's no way back in there. It's over. It's finished. It's closed. You say, well, the young man would say, we'll see about that. You know, so that was how his pursuit of the things of God, something he wanted, something. He didn't settle for the status quo that we're just waiting around to die. Or we're waiting around to go to heaven, whichever one it is, you know. Something sparked in his heart. He said, look, I'm going to find this thing out myself. And he would come back and ask some more. And Adam would tell him the same story. And he would go away and say, I got to figure this thing out. You know? And when God saw that he began to draw close to the Lord, you know, well, here is, you know, a promise from God. When you draw close to him like that, when the things of God ignite your heart, and when you seek him, Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, in other words, you may not find anything if you just do it casually, lackadaisically, you know, whatever. But when you are consumed with seeking after the Lord, my goodness, God begins to draw you in. The Lord began to draw Enoch in and said, well, I got to figure this thing out. It took him a long time, about 300 years to be exact. But He did figure it out. And the closer he got to God, the more the Lord showed him, the more he wanted, you know. And he was being transformed, see, in and out. Death and darkness could not keep him black. He kept moving towards the light and the life. And one day, and he was completely changed because of the passion and desire in his heart. Transformed day by day. One day he was transfigured completely into light. And he was, boom, like that, just taken. You know, it's like, you know, he was getting close, getting close, getting close. And he approached, there's a certain velocity in the spirit that you can attain. A change into light and you're gone. It's like sucked in, gone, and never to taste of death. Well, Adam said, we're all going to die. Well, this man proved otherwise because he was passionate. He walked with God, want to figure it out. I'm going to figure this thing out myself. And those are the things that he was passionate about. Yeah. He had family, just like all the rest of us. We were raising sons and daughters. But, you know, that didn't stop him. Praise God. You know, so what is your passion? What is it that we are, you know, seeking after? What do you ask the Lord when you pray? What are the things that excite you about God, the Word of God? The things that we have been sharing on this platform, do they excite you? You want to know more? Praise the Lord. There are some promises in the Word of God for, you know, those who would come and search Him. I mean, seek Him and search out these things. Proverbs 25:2 says, the glory of God conceals something, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. Your soul. Is there a thirst, is there a hunger to know these things, to search it out? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which you don't know. These are the things that should excite us. You know, the expectation of God showing something new that I don't know. You know, that should excite us in seeking the Lord, in thirsting, say, I want more. There's something. The Lord said, call unto me. I'll show you something that you don't know. I said, wow, I got to figure this thing out. I want you to show me, Lord, something. You know, and you read the Word of God, He show you something new each time. And you hear a message, the same message, or read the same scriptures, show you something new. It depends on what's in your heart. You know, if you read it as a duty, many people read the Word of God as a duty, which is good. I mean, but you got to go beyond that. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a duty. They had religious routines that they followed. It was a duty. They did it. But, you know, they were not connected to the things of God, the way God wanted it. So Jesus said, well, except your righteousness exceed theirs. And they were very dutiful in everything they did. Well, so it's more than just doing as a duty. You know, but it's good. It's a good place to practice. Start it as a duty. Make it a business with God. Set a time to seek Him. And even throughout the day, let your mind be upon Him. It's a good time. Daniel, was a business with Him, you know, and nothing would shake Him. It didn't matter whether they made any laws or whatever. He would stay right there as His manner was, going to do exactly what He was doing. Nobody was going to shake Him. And it was a business with God, with Him. Prayer time was, you know, His time to feed His soul. He wouldn't let anything take it from Him. Didn't matter what anybody threatened Him with. And, of course, you saw all the great things, you know, that happened in His life. You know, praise the Lord. There are many promises the word of God, for if, you know, when we seek, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not haphazardly, though, you know. And here's what Jesus promised. Even at the end in the book of Revelation, he was still promising the same thing. Revelation 21 and verse 6. And he said unto me, the vision that John was participating in, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, but that promise is for those who are athirst, thirsty for the things of God. You may be thirsty for other things. Well, let those other things, you know, satisfy your thirst then. But if you are thirsty for the things of God, then the Lord said, I'm going to give you access, the fountain of the water of life. Glory to God. You know, clear unto the end, the Lord is still, this promise is still there for us, even till today. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Revelation 22 and 17. The Spirit and the Bride is saying this morning, the Spirit is saying, and I'm saying also, and what I say to one, I say to all, myself first. Let him that hear, you know, it's John Austin saying, come, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever we let him take of the water of life freely. God's given out this invitation. It's flowing, but you got to want it. You know, do you want it? How badly do you want it? Are you willing to pay a price for it? You know, Mary was able to, willing to pay a price. You know, she just wanted to sit at his feet. Cut out the distraction. Oh, Martha didn't understand that. But Jesus told her, look, because she came and told, you know, the Lord, you know, I'm running around trying to serve the guests here. And this, my sister is just sitting down there. Well, why don't you tell her? Bid her come join me and help me take care of this business. And the Lord's answer might surprise you. You know, because, you know, sometimes we're doing all these wonderful things and they're good things. You know, but the purposes of God are higher than the things that we do. You know, even when we're just doing it in the service of the Lord sometimes, you know, purpose of God is come, you know, come and be with me. He wants us to spend that time with him. Just, are you thirsty about that? You know, Mary chose that. And the Lord told Martha, he said, look, your sister has chosen that one needful thing. All these other things, you know, they're good, but that's not the thing that's really needful for her. And you've chosen that. And that will not be taken from her. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and what was it that Mary chose? Well, she chose to just sit down, you know, with the Lord. You know, and the Lord said to Martha, 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 thou art encumbered with so many things. And you can read this story in the book of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to about 42. You know, the Lord said, well, this one needful thing that your sister has chosen, because she's hungry, she's thirsty, it will not be taken from her. But she was determined, Mary was, to sit there and hear from the Lord. Are you determined at times, you know, to things may be pulling you, come and do this, come and do that. But we got to train our minds, you know, to seek and search and thirst after God. There's a promise in Psalm 107, verse 9. For the Lord satisfieth this longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with his goodness. Well, that's a soul that is thirsty after him and not satisfied with the status quo. Isaiah 55 verse 1, these are promises that God promised us. When we are seeking him, we will find him. He gives us, invitation to come. Ho, he says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And even if you have no money, you don't need money to get this kind of water. The water of life is given freely. The food that God gives, it's not physical money, but there's some other price we got to pay for it. It's the price of the flesh, the price of the time, the price of commitment. That's what we pay. It's not the price of money, but you can come without money and without price. Not that kind of money. There's a price that must be paid, must be willing to commit. So I was so thirsty, And can the things that we are laboring for, can they satisfy you? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which justifieth not? All these things that we labor for and thirst after, and seek after, can they actually satisfy us? Well, most of the times we find out no. But there's one thing that can satisfy: the presence of the Lord and the word of God. Those are the things that satisfy. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah 44 and verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. These are more promises on when you are thirsting after the Lord. The Lord promises to respond in kind and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One of them shall say, I am the Lord's. I'm a child of God. We're talking about the other day. See yourself like that. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. I'd rather call myself by the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 says, the name of Christ is his surname to all the families in heaven and on earth. I'd like to subscribe that as my name, by whom all the families in heaven and on earth are named Christ. Another shall subscribe himself by the hand of the Lord. Surname himself by the name of Israel. Well, I want to surname myself by the name of Christ, because that's what we're told in the New Testament. Let's read it together. Ephesians 3 and 15. You see it for yourself that there is a new surname. Not Israel now, but there's a new surname, and his name is Christ. Praise the Lord. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And these are the things that we should pray, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ, this should be our prayer, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. You got to figure it out. In order for you to know it and understand it, you got to search for it. What is, with all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? And to know the love of Christ. Well, why stay on the water's edge where you can jump right in? Why stay wherever you are when you can get even more from the Lord? The love of God will draw you in. Praise the Lord. But we got to want it. How badly you want it. And many people are satisfied with where they are. Well, that's cool. And the Lord gave us an illustration. This man called Ezekiel, he experienced a vision in which the Lord gave us this illustration. You'll find that story, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. The man, he found himself in the vision standing, you know, there were some waters that were coming down, you know, looking at the altar, looking at the house, looking at the threshold, and he saw the waters coming down. And then, you know, at first he was standing on the brink. You know, you might say he was standing there and he looked. I mean, so you have a choice. You may stand at the brink or you may jump right in. Well, this man at first, you know, standing in the brink, then he decided, well, I'm going to follow this angel. So the man took him, measured 1,000 cubits, whatever that was, you know, as a journey and a process of deeper revelation and getting more from the Lord. And after 1,000 cubits, he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. At first, waters were perhaps just grazing his heels when he was standing on the brink. Now he's gone inside, and the waters, it took a while, took a few steps, several actually, and now the water is up to his ankle. Well, you could stop there and be done with it, or you could say there's yet more to be sought after. There's more to be discovered in the kingdom of God and the things that we've been talking about. So he measured 1,000, said, come with me, I'll show you some more stuff. So he went, they went through the waters. He followed, and right now, you know, after 1,000 cubits, well, it's another process in the journey. He found out that, you know, the waters were up to his knees. My goodness. It's now called knee deep. And then, that could be sufficient. You know, some people have experienced the waters to their heels, and that's where they stop. Some go in, get the waters to their ankles. Well, so they may stop there as well. Others may proceed and get the waters to their knees. And yet, the angel said, well, I'll show you some more stuff. Come with me. And he measured 1,000. And he brought me through, and the waters were up to the loins. Now, you know, so these heaps now, up with place where you would, you know, would wear your belt or whatever. You know, you can see how the waters, how deep he's getting now. The waters are rising, but each time is 1,000 cubits. There's more to be done to get there. You know, and then I said, wow, my goodness. So you can stop here, but afterward he measured 1,000. So as you can see the progression, you know, and it's going like that. Yeah. After a while, you know, it keeps going and keep going. You know, the waters now were over all the way, completely immersed. And you cannot wade in this river anymore. It was wading before. Wading, 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 but you can't do it anymore. He says, you know, you got to swim. Praise the Lord. You know, waters, you know, there are reason you can't wade. You have to swim in it. And a river that could not be passed over by wading. So he said to him, son of man, hast thou seen this? Oh. Then he caused him to return to the brink of the river. That was where he started. He showed him, allowed him to participate in this thing for a reason. Then he went and considered the thing. And as he was considering it, you know, the Lord began to explain it to him. He said, these waters that issue out toward the east country and go down to the desert and the sea and so forth. Well, so consider these things, that the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass. See, the seeking, the more seeking brings something into our life, even revival, even salvation of souls. When we ourselves are revived, listen to this, even healing, everything. He says, and it shall come to pass that every living thing which moveth wheresoever these rivers shall come, shall leave. Praise God. And there shall be a great multitude of fish. Great revival. because these waters, now you've passed through the waters, you've tasted of that, you know, and now you are able to communicate the same. You pass through the waters, you know, the waters are coming there, and wherever this water has come to, everything that it touches shall live. Glory to God. Now, the challenge today that God has for us, same challenge that he gave the children of Israel at the beginning. You know, in Exodus 19, the Lord spoke to them. He wanted them to come closer to him, have this deeper relationship. And here's what the Lord said to them in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. That'll be a royal priesthood. And an holy nation. And the Lord told him, Moses, these are the words you should speak unto children of Israel. And he went and spoke to all the elders of the people and so forth. He spoke these words to them. You know, and at first, you know, actually, the people said, well, you know, all that the Lord has said we will do. They thought they could do it. Remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But they did not say in desiring the things of God. He did not give the commitment to want to stay in his presence. Enough time passes. When they saw the real presence of God, they couldn't handle it. They said, well, we can't do that. You know, so in the next verse, we see that all the people, after Moses received the commandment, we read in the book of Exodus 20 verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, see, their hearts were not with the Lord. Even though they said, oh yeah, we can do that thing, that was with their lips. Their heart wasn't there. You know, when they saw all these things, the phenomena around the presence of God, they said, they removed and stood afar off. They got away from the presence of the Lord. They couldn't do it. They couldn't handle. Every time I read this thing, I see it as very, very sad. It's a tragedy that people would remove themselves from the presence of the Lord instead of thirsting after the presence of the Lord. They removed, actually. They stood afar off. They said to Moses, well, we cannot hear God's voice. Remember, the Lord said, obey my voice. For you to obey it, first you got to hear it. They said, no, we can't hear it. You know, if we hear it, we would die. God spoke to us, we would die. I said, if God wanted to kill you, you'd be dead already. You know, he said, well, you know, we can't do it. We cannot hear. The whole, every one of them, they gave excuse that they cannot hear the voice of God. And they didn't want to do it. They want to pay the price. Moses will always go in the cloud. They didn't want any part of it. So, you know. And said, well, you go hear it and come tell it to us. Sadly, today, many people are still in that posture. We leave it up to the pastor or some anointed man or some anointed woman of God to go in, receive the things of heaven and communicate them to us and download to us. And we say we want to tap into their anointing. What is all that? God is calling you yourself, not somebody, not for you to tap into somebody's anointing. Well, you can tap, but that tap will run dry. You know, we need to come in ourselves. God said to these people, all of you can be a kingdom of priests to me, not just one person, all of you. But they said, we couldn't do it. You know, because they said they couldn't do it. Well, then Moses became their prophet. And so because now Moses has to become the go-between. That's not what God wanted. God wanted to talk to the people directly, hear my voice, obey my voice directly. I said, no, we can't do it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, come to the Lord directly yourself. I mean, there may be teachers such as myself, but, you know, we would teach you the ways of God. We will bring the word of God and so forth, but you still must do this thing on your own. Thirst after him. Because if we don't, well, what happens when the preacher is not around? What happens throughout the rest of the day when you are on your own? You know, are you going to be unconnected, unplugged? You know, your device gets unplugged for too long, it will run out of charge. You got to get that thing connected. Praise the Lord. You know, so, but if you are able to do it and stay connected, the Lord has a promise. And so the Lord today, this is to everyone that feels that they need to connect more with the Lord. Well, the Lord said to them in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he said, return to your first love. Yeah, and that's a message of today. That first love is the thing that has put that passion in us. We want more of God. I want more of you, Lord, more of you. That was our first love. Many of you. You know, anybody that has not actually experienced that first love, I don't know if they've actually been truly born again. Yeah, because when you come into the kingdom, there's this excitement. You can't get away from the presence of God. You can't have enough of God. It's something that excites you. But enough time passes. If we are not careful, in the parable of the sower that Jesus told, you know, some seed actually began to make impact initially, but, you know, after a while, because of so many things, you know, call them the ones that fell among thorns. He said, well, the word was choked out because of the cares of this life. And sometimes it's the burdens of this life. You've heard me say it multiple times, how Pharaoh told them that, you know, because they came and told Pharaoh, well, we need to go serve the Lord. And say, well, you want to serve the Lord? It's because you are idle. That's why you have time to think about serving the Lord. So let there be more burden and more work laden upon the people. Make their tasks harder. Make their situation more difficult. Then they will not have time to serve the Lord. Same tactic still today. Anytime you're trying to get closer to the Lord, all kinds of things will come up. Your job demands this and that, more bills that you have to pay, issues with your children, health issues, what have you. Let there be more. You know, the devil, he has these council meetings, just like Pharaoh had with the taskmasters. The devil has these council meetings with the oppressing spirits. And I say, well, you know, if you let these people alone, they will find out the truth. And if they find out the truth, well, it's over for us. So you go in there, put more things upon them to worry that they need to worry about. Let them be spend their time chasing all these things. You know, that's your job. Your number one go in there, all these believers, make sure they are chasing one thing or the other. Make sure they have problems. They won't have time, you know, to really search out the truth. You know, do everything you can. Satan will tell his emissaries. Make sure they cannot come to the truth. They don't have time. They're burdened. They won't even have time to go to fellowship, have time to go to prayers, meetings, and all these things. You know, because they have to chase all these problems around. You know, and choke out the life. The thorns, Jesus said, will choke out the life. But we got to figure it out. Praise the Lord. Once we are able to figure out, you know, how to continue to yearn and thirst for the things of God, well, then God will answer us in kind. Praise the Lord. There was a man, his name was called Gideon. He was not satisfied with what I call the status quo. One day, let's read this story, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord one day, he came, you know, he sat there on an oak. And he knew that he's going to get a you know, to see this guy, because he was always coming there to thresh wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. They had to go hide because the Midianites would let them do all the work and come in and bully them and take it from them. And so the angel of the Lord said to him when the man came, he said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon looked around. Who is he talking to? I'm the only one here. I'm sure he's not talking to me. And he said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." I said, "Wow. Mighty man of valor, the Lord is with me." Well, if the Lord be with me, then, you know, why all this evil befalling us? Where be all those miracles, which I've heard of our God that he did with our fathers? You know, and so forth. I mean, we're hiding from the Midianites here. And he said, "The Lord be with us." Yeah, he wasn't satisfied with the status quo. He wanted more. You know. And he said, "Well, I mean, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?" You know, and the Lord, you know, all the miracles he did. But now he said, "Well, you know, I mean, the Lord looks like he's forsaken." You know, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. He was overwhelmed with all the problems, but he, in his heart, he wanted more. And the Lord saw that hunger, saw that fire in him. In fact, the angel of the Lord looked upon him through the Lord, the Lord looked upon him through the angel, and said, you know, "Go in this thy might." You know, that was that fire. So that passion in him, he loved it. I can use that. You know, so when we're passionate about more of the things of God, you say, "Well, I want to see God as I've seen him before in the sanctuary, as our fathers have told us, you know, and these things and so forth. I want to see that." Well, that's what Enoch said. "Well, you told me you had all this power, you could do all of these things. Well, where are those things now?" I said, "Well, it's over, son." I said, "Well, I'm going to find out." So, you know, when we are passionate about the things of God, the Lord will answer in kind. Praise the Lord. I am going to pray and leave today's lesson here. It's a call back to our first love. Jesus said, you know, you have lost your first love. Challenge them. Challenge the church in Ephesus. They were really good. Revelation 2 verses 4 and 5. In fact, if you read the preceding verses, they were good. I mean, they did great things. They had good works. They even had discernment. They could tell, you know, if false apostles came. There was a lot of apostles in the early church. Everybody claiming to be this and that. These people could tell. They challenged them. You know, found them to be false and so forth. You know, but, you know, enough time passed, something began to happen. You know, they probably began to organize the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, you know, you can't do it that way. You got to go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. He said, "I have somewhat against you, despite all these other things." And there's always that one thing. What is that one thing with you? You know, that the Holy Spirit challenging you of today. Well, overall, we're challenging people to thirst for the Lord more. But in particular, the Lord might be challenging you for one thing or the other. You know, there was a man that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. He said, "Well, you know, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" God said to him, "Well, I callest thou me good. There's only one God. I mean, good, that's God. But you know the commandments. You know, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And the man said, "Well, I've been doing this since I was a young man, up to now." And the Lord looked at him, he saw all the pages of his life, that he was actually doing that. And the Lord loved him, he said, good job. He said, "Nevertheless, there's one thing that thou lackest." The church of Ephesus were doing all these good works, but there was one thing they lacked. Their first love, their first passion they had. This young man, his own Achilles heel, whatever you want to call it, there was one thing that he lacked. There was something. Nevertheless, there's one thing which thou lackest. The thing, you know, yours may be prayerlessness, you know, and maybe we've even lost our passion for souls. Maybe we lost our passion for the word of God. Maybe we've lost one thing or the other. What is that one thing that the Holy Spirit says to you? Maybe prayer, you know, spending time in the word, meditating. Even when you can't read the Bible, you can be meditating on it. You say, this word of the Lord shall not depart of thy mouth, but you will meditate. You can't read the Bible all the time, but you can meditate on it all the time. Yeah. You know, I mean, meditate on the word of God. Spend time. Search more. Want more from the Lord. I'm going to pray over this room and ask the Lord for his grace upon every one of us. The desire that he will put in us. I mean, the Lord is the one that does that. Philippians 2 and 13 says, it is God that worketh in us both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. So, Father, I thank you. You are the one, Lord, no matter where we've been, that can show us more. Moses desired more. Show me thy glory, Lord, he said, even after he's seen all those miracles, he still wanted more. I pray, Lord, that we will not sit down and be satisfied with the status quo, that our heart will yearn and thirst after you daily. And there is a promise from you, the Lord satisfied the longest soul, the longing soul and the thirsty soul. The Lord will satisfy them. Satisfy us, O Lord, with the bread of heaven and the living waters in Jesus' name. Cause there to be a fire ignited in our hearts, a flame again for Christ, rekindling the flame. Reigniting the fire in the name of Jesus. And let not our passion for the things of God diminish or be overrun by the cares of this life. Give us the grace, Lord. The psalmist said that the heart panted the dead. What a brook. So panted my heart after you, O Lord. My soul thirsted for God, even for the living God. My soul thirsted for thee, O Lord, even as dry land is needing water. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, saith the Lord. Floods even upon the dry grounds, and I'll pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Even upon your seed. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to engage in seeking the things of God beyond other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Give us a desire to be passionate about the things of God. Let it be the things of God that excite us. Affection may be set on the things of God and not on things beneath. I give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.